Welcome to the Colorado Real Estate Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Trailstone Insurance Group, bringing you interviews with Colorado's best real estate and mortgage professionals, empowering you to understand the current trends in the housing market so you can make the American dream your reality. Enjoy today's episode.
Well, it's a great day in Colorado, and welcome to the Colorado Real Estate Leaders Podcast. Today, we have with us Nick Jimerson, who's a personal mortgage advisor with Nations Lending. Nick, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey, I'm excited to learn about what you do and how you do it and how you serve your clients and your strategic alliance referral partners. But give us a little bit of your background. Maybe back in the second grade, you stood up and said, I want to be a mortgage lender when I grow up, or maybe you didn't. So what got you interested in mortgage lending in the first place?
Yeah. I certainly wasn't one of those things that I felt like I was going to do in second grade. I always thought I was going to be a pilot, and here I am. how I got into it, I think like most individuals, they tend to fall into mortgage. I graduated in 2010 from St. Cloud State University. It was a tougher market to really kind of get into a job right away. And so I was delivering mail actually as a city carrier temporarily, as a fill-in job, really. And found myself, ended up getting an opportunity at Wells Fargo, and that's where I started my career.
Neat. Was that in Minnesota then? I'm sorry, Mike.
That was in Minnesota. I started in processing, and I did that for a couple of years just on an offsite. And it was really for, through that first refi boom that we kind of had post 2008.
Sure. Yeah. And then when did you move to Colorado then?
Moved to Colorado in, I want to say it was 2013 or 2014. 2014, I believe.
And then with Wells Fargo, or did you kind of move on from there?
Well, I actually ended up getting laid off at Wells Fargo, and that's what led me to Colorado. I was just applying for different jobs. I had visited the state just a couple months before I moved, and I really liked it, really enjoyed it. I love skiing and snowboarding specifically. And, I figured, why not see if there's opportunity out there? And that's where a builder had, gave me an opportunity. And I packed my car, and 2 weeks later, I ended up just driving out here. And I actually stayed on a buddy's couch that first week while I was, getting integrated into the job and looking for a place to rent at the same time. So it was a little bit of a whirlwind experience getting, out to Colorado, but it's been wonderful ever since.
You got into the business in a tough spot, like 2010, when things were not really fun economically, but yet you got with a great lender that taught you from the processing. I loved hearing that you said you started as a processor, because that's the foundation. And then now moving into when you now are doing lending, you can understand what your clients and borrowers are needing, because from the processing background, have you found that you draw well off of that working with your clients?
Absolutely. I think you nailed it. I think that's actually one of my strengths, is that I have that background. It teaches you to understand underwriting guidelines. You have to work closely with the underwriters and building close and good relationships with them. And so it just makes you a better loan officer, knowing what you're sending down the pipeline. It makes a client experience night and day.
Probably gives you the opportunity to help educate as well. And so those are some of the things that separate you. Is there other things that you feel really separate you from the other loan officers that people could be working with, or, what do you look to specialize and help people in?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a very strong purchase background, working for the builder. It's all purchase type business. Deadlines are critical. So knowing, what's important to not just only the client and the consumer, but also your real estate industry partners, making sure you're meeting all of those deadlines that are, written within the contract, and navigating that, or being proactive and communicating if you see something that could potentially move a deadline out. It's one of those things that you really have to be on top of. So yeah, having that purchase background for 6 years with the builder just definitely is a competitive edge in this type of market.
And deadlines to me sound like you need structure and process, number one, to meet the deadlines. But in some cases, isn't there a fact that if you miss a deadline, then the builder is facing potential penalties dollar wise? So deadlines are more than just, you know, suggestions. They're like, you better meet the deadline or else we're paying X number of dollars. So it really seared it into your mind to go, we need to meet deadlines, which means if we have to meet this deadline, we have to have this and this and this in place. So what are some of the kind of procedures that you find yourself holding yourself to structure your day so that you meet deadlines for your client?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. You're absolutely right. It's pretty expensive per day that a house isn't occupied, and you know, creating systems that really help support that. You know, it's different for each individual. You know, over at Nations Lending, we have within our branch, we've got a really strong operations team, and they're in charge of making sure that all of our deadlines are in a system. We're able to look at that system and making sure that, hey, we're going to be on track for this. We have weekly meetings where we're keeping everything up to date, you know, on different loan transactions that we're working with and things of such. So, yeah, it's critically important to have good systems in place, good structure, you know, leveraging your calendar for different types of deadlines and events and things like that. It's really critically important.
And you probably also, and I'm just kind of guessing here, but deadlines all go hand in hand with communication. So how do you communicate ahead of deadlines to make sure that borrowers and vendors and appraisals and real estate and the builders, all the people that are part of the process know what's going on? Because it's really not fun to be in the dark and to have something pop up on you. So I'm confident that you keep people really well communicated with, but talk a little bit about that so people know what they are up against.
Yeah. You know, when you see a problem arise, I think the earliest that you can address that, the better, or the sooner you can address that, the better. You know, you want to be extremely proactive in this industry. If you think that you can get by without communicating something that you know is going to go wrong or could backfire in a little bit later, that's one of those things that will you know, tarnish a relationship. So identifying something that potentially could cause a hurdle or, you know, and clearly communicating that out, you know, and, you know, getting on the phone and calling, you know, the listing agent or the buyer's agent immediately and just letting them know, hey, you know, this situation is a concern. Just want to put it on your radar, you know, being proactive in that communication and, you know, obviously touching base with the client as soon as that information becomes available as well to navigate through that. And also being solutions driven or finding and resolving that problem. You always want to, you know, come to a client with a solution. You don't want to just tell them there's a problem, we're trying to figure it out. You really want to make sure that you're on top of your game and you're communicating very well in a way that it's well thought out. So, you know, text messages are, you know, great way to, you know, send that some information out, but, you know, phone calls and discussing things over the phone is absolutely imperative in this business. And that's, I think, one of the best forms of communication, although it may be a little bit lost of an art in our current, you know, technology industry where you can get by with an email or text message. I think getting on the phone is really one of the best ways of communicating still.
But that is a great way to separate yourself. You know, I communicate, I meet deadlines, I actually speak words to you that you could hear in your ear. You know, that's a really, you know, a great piece. But you know, it's all balanced. You know, a text here, email there, phone call, that's awesome. When you were describing seeing problems ahead of time, it made me think of I'm certain that you had a time where something imploded or exploded and you had to fix it. And then that gave you the experience to see it coming sooner the next time in the next transaction and go, ooh, this came up before. Now we need to prevent it by doing this. Can you think of some of those or one an example of something like that where you're like, you know what, this kind of a thing came up before, here's how we, you know, circumnavigate around it even before it became a problem?
Yeah, absolutely. A really good example of that is we had a property that we originally thought was a single family dwelling. However, the legal description from the title information that we received actually deemed the property as a condo. If you're in lending, you know that there's a secondary condo level review that can take, you know, ample amount of time. you have to get certain documentation from the association in order to submit that process. But we were, unfortunately, we didn't discover that until, you know, the title work came in. We did a thorough review on that. Somehow it did, miss processing and missed underwriting. And wow. So it came up through an audit that, in fact, this property actually is a condo. And how do we, pivot as quickly as we can? Yeah. So, reaching out to each party, letting them know, hey, there's going to be, maybe a day or two delay here. And here's a reason why. We've got a secondary yeah. level review that's required, and we need to get all the proper information. Everybody's on top of it, and we're expediting things as quickly as we can. But it's, it's one of those things that you learn from. Yeah. You get that title report, you take a look at it, you take a look at the legal description, and you make sure that never happens again.
Yeah, you don't just throw it in the file or save it on your computer in the loan of documents as a PDF. You look for it now. And I'll bet you that every time now you get that title report in, you scan right to that section and go, okay, let me just make sure the legal description, is what it needs to be. And then if not, then, oh, let's now get it to that second level review. And now we're not under the gun. And that's a great example of kind of learning somewhere. You fix that one problem, and then now it's not even going to come up again.
Exactly. Yep. And making sure you also provide that feedback to, each of the other parties that, when you do get a contract through, that it's the proper type of, property type, and working as a team and collaborating, make sure that there nothing is missed through that sales pipeline.
Yep, 100%. What about from the buyer side when you're working with buyers or borrowers when you're going through the application? What are some of the things that you have seen in your past that they kind of forgot to mention or did something incorrectly that kind of caused a delay that now you're able to kind of pre-educate people as they come in and go, okay, let's make sure that this is in place or this is not happening. What are some of those things to help a buyer realize what to do on the front end so that the whole transaction is smooth?
Yeah, absolutely. Education is key. There's things that, somebody may feel like they've gone through the process and they've been approved. They haven't closed yet. And so they're really eager to go buy those appliances and buy things to furnish the house. There's been a situation where client ended up, opening a new credit card and threw some debt on that new credit card. And, that has to be all reevaluated by the underwriter because their debt to income ratios have now changed. And we want to make sure that yeah. it's still, it's a loan that could still be approved per the underwriting guidelines, considering that there's new debt that's been incurred in the process. So my biggest recommendation is, if you're going to be buying a home, don't purchase anything big. Don't get that brand new Mercedes, get that after closing. Yeah, you want to wait to buy any major appliances or things like that, or at least at a minimum, consult with your loan advisor to make sure it's not going to be something that, could be a detriment to the approval.
Yeah, that's a huge point. And what about pre-qualification versus pre-approval? Because I think that could be a fly in the ointment sometimes where it's like, yeah, I'm good to go, but then you only showed, a quick credit pull and maybe a pay stub, but the underwriter didn't look at it. So what are some of the things to keep in mind with pre-qual versus pre-approval?
Yeah, a pre-qual, it's mostly based on a conversation. So a lot of it's stated, the income stated, the assets are stated. We do pull credit on a pre-qualification, just making sure that we do put in the right loan program and fit, and the credit scores do qualify for that specific loan program. But all of that information is stated. A pre-approval actually goes the length of reviewing all of the income documentation. So whether an individual is actually self-employed, we take a look at the 2 years tax returns for requires 2 years, and we do an income analysis. And we make sure that income is going to be solid before it even goes to an underwriter. Taking a look at pay stubs, W-2s for the last 2 years, and we do an income calculation. So pre-qualification is based on stated information. Pre-approval is actually gathering all the proper documentation to vet income and assets and ensuring that the loan is going to go through underwriting quite smoothly. And a lot of that information is going to be needed anyhow. So it's great to gather that information up front. And so, before you go shopping, you really want to have that pre-approval. It's also going to give you as a buyer, a competitive advantage in the market. If somebody's trying to put an offer on a home with just a pre-qualification, that's an offer that hasn't really been vetted with paperwork and documentation. And so when you're pre-approved, it gives you that extra competitive edge, like showing to the, the listing agent or the seller, I've gone through the full process of pre-approval. I've provided all the paperwork. it's all been reviewed by a personal mortgage advisor, and they've issued that pre-approval letter.
Yeah, that's huge, because we don't want surprises, and just a verbal, I make X number of dollars, sometimes doesn't cut it because, oh, you had a huge influx in income, or you make overtime, or you're hourly. All of those things, when an underwriter sees it, it's not the underwriter being mean and turning it down. It's got to fit into the guidelines. So that pre-approval is so needed.
Absolutely. And it's a good point too, especially when you're self employed, you typically want to minimize your tax liability and your taxable income. And that can be, it's good to minimize, the amount of taxes you're going to be paying, but it's not going to help you when you're purchasing a home.
You tell Uncle Sam, I make pennies, but then you want to tell the lender I make millions, and there's a little disconnect there. So do you have programs for the self-employed that kind of helps them document income in ways other than tax returns?
Yeah, absolutely. There's bank statement programs where they do kind of a cash flow analysis, and they're able to calculate an income based on that. So there are definitely different programs that are out there, in a situation where would it be non-traditional, financing.
Yeah, that's huge, because and I'm sure you can't count every single dollar of everything that goes through the bank statements. It's a percentage, but that's still going to be many times much more than what shows on the tax returns. And that's a great creative way to allow for income for self-employed.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it is. And it's a creative solution. It's a good solution to, something that could potentially come up in a different loan program for sure.
So what are you seeing in the industry here now in the Colorado area? I know that we've been up and down and all around, but are you seeing, a lot of activity? Are purchases still happening? Are first-time home buyers, is it now a little bit easier for them to kind of get in because now the flurry has kind of died down just a notch or two?
Yeah, I think for first-time home buyers specifically, it's a great market for them to really get into the get into the real estate market itself. There's you're seeing less competition. When you had to put an offer well over list, if that appraisal came in under what you put your offer in, you got to cover that difference. We're now kind of in a situation where first-time home buyers and buyers have a little bit more leverage. They can actually negotiate a little bit of a credit, either to help with an interest rate buy-down, whether it's a temporary buy-down, or a credit to help with closing costs. So the market certainly has shifted. It's not like it was back in 2020, where you're getting 20 offers on a single property, where you're having to compete pretty aggressively. And those first-time home buyer offers are actually being considered. And they definitely have a better opportunity to get the home that they really want to get in.
Go ahead. That's huge. And there's probably no way to gauge this, but I think that a lot of first-time home buyers are tentative anyway. And then when you see market just going nuts, they kind of sit on the sidelines. But I think now you hear that, okay, the water's fine. Come on in. Get your ducks in a row. Meet with someone like Nick and get that pre-approval. And if there's some issues where it's like, hey, if we could just get a increased credit score of this, or if you could just pay off that, maybe there's some guidance that way to say, hey, it's just not right this minute, but let's give it 3 months or 2 months or whatever the case is. So do you work with first-time home buyers that way to kind of get them ready to kind of get into a better position?
Absolutely. It's all about creating a path. Whether that path is 6 months or even a year out, you want to make sure you help navigate them. It's getting from point A to B as quickly as possible. We've got a plethora of resources and information that we can provide that can get you there a little bit more quickly than having to figure that out on your own. You're going to expend, a lot of your resources, and you're going to find stuff on the internet that may misdirect you. And so it is super important to make sure you touch base with the lender as quickly as possible, because we're going to have those conversations. We're going to identify what potentially could be a hurdle and how do we overcome that? Let me get you connected with this individual, and they're going to get you there a lot more quickly and in a quicker fashion. Absolutely.
Well, Nick, it's been a real pleasure talking with you. If someone is listening to this thinking, hey, maybe let me see what my chances are on buying my first home or buying getting into a property, what's the best way they can learn more as well as reach out and connect with you?
Yeah, I can be contacted directly on my cell phone. It is still a 612 number from Minnesota, but I am located here in Denver, Colorado. That's 612-280-3310. And you can reach me also by email. That is Nick, Nick.Jimerson, ERSON at nationslending.com.
Wonderful. Well, Nick, thank you so much for coming on today. It was a real pleasure talking with you.
It's been an honor, Mike. I appreciate it, and pleasure talking with you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to the Colorado Real Estate Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Trailstone Insurance Group. To learn more about the topics mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.coloradorealestateleaders.com.